Joy indeed to be at the Lord's house one more time on the Lord's day. Wonder this evening, would there be something on somebody's heart that you feel like you need to say or do for the Lord in any way? Anybody, anything? If you have your Bibles, would read with us this evening in the third chapter of 1 John. 1 John in the third chapter. 1 John in the third chapter. Tremendous words that we're about to read. Not sure tonight whether we preach, whether we teach. We're just here to be led of the Lord. Certainly desire and covet your prayers. We're ready and willing to spend and be spent, ever how God would lead us. But without a doubt, several verses here upon our heart. 1 John, 3rd chapter and the 13th verse. The Bible says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." You may be seated. Oh, what words. What words of life, what words of testimony of God. Thought a lot lately and studied a lot lately and looked at charity. You find in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I'll tell you, that's a picture of Christ. If ever there is a picture of words of Jesus, you'll find it in the 13th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. And what made our hearts come to this passage is the thought that we had trying to gather in our mind, in our hearts, to what the Lord would have for us tonight was about the law of love. The law of love. Now, I've searched the scriptures, and I don't know that you'll find those exact words, the law of love. But what you will find is some of the words that we read to you here this evening. And also that God, Jesus Christ, incarnate in the flesh, he made the statement in his teachings that the whole law and commandments hang upon this, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and also that we're to love one another. This is fulfillment of the law. But Lord, help us this evening. May we look at how we are going to facilitate this, if you will. Now, first of all, if we can think about this for a moment, we may see a need around our house. We might come across something that needs repairing. For instance, you may have a squeaky door, or you may have, a leaky pipe, or you might have something that's not working right, and you see that it's not right. You understand that it's not functioning the way it should. And you may perceive, well, I can fix that. Or you may think, well, I'm going to get somebody to fix that. Because first of all, if you can fix it, if you have the means and the measures and the ability to take care of that's wrong, and you can fix it, you'll fix it more than likely. And you'll see in your mind a solution. You'll see a way that you can take care of this problem. And then you'll go about it to fix it so that's not working will work. Amen? Amen. Well, many times in our lives, we understand how it is to repair a flat tire on a car. We understand where the jack's at when we think about it. We understand where the tools are at to get it done. But here this evening as we look at this, we understand that the world is going to hate us. We understand that as children of God. But he said, marvel not, my brethren, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now, I can promise you this. There's no way you're going to love God if you don't love your brother. There's no possible way that you're going to be able to truly love God if you cannot truly love everybody that's sitting around you right now. Well, preacher, not everybody here's my brother. Are you sure? I don't know about you, but my hopes is that we're all brothers and we're all sisters. Now, are we all saved? No, we're not. But I hope that we will before we leave this world. I hope that the gospel will reach and pluck lives as a brand from the burning. So why would we not be able to love the brethren? Why would we not be able? I'll tell you, friend, the only way that we're going to be able to love the way we ought to love, the only way we're going to be able to facilitate this duty, facilitate what's wrong, is going to be by the power of God. And this power of God is going to have to surpass our head knowledge. And it's going to have to be a habitation of God in our hearts by the Spirit to get it done. Amen. Listen to the Bible. He says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. I don't know about you, but that passage of Scripture many times has been a sure arrow in my quiver. It's been a sure source of a victory, if you will, because I can't help but love them of the house of God. I can't help it. Have I been hurt by some people that inhabit the four walls of the houses of God I've been to? Yes, I have. And I guarantee you, you have. But let me tell you something. I love them. And I can't help but love them. There's something on the inside of me that causes me to love them. It's more than what I know I ought to do. I tell you, it's a burning fire of desire that I might love them. And you might say that you love them, but my friend, it's more than just with words. It's more, my friend, with just the air that passes across our vocal box with mixed with thoughts in our mind that comes out of our mouth. It goes farther than that. I'll tell you, I like it when our knees are bent and our hearts broke and God rolls them by us and we can't help but feel wrung out and say, oh, God bless him. Yeah. Oh, God supplies every need. I love him. This, my friend, is the power of Christ in you. You and I don't have this ability of our own. You cannot earn it. You cannot learn it. You cannot make yourself do it consistently and properly. You don't have the means to facilitate this love. Oh, but Christ in you does. Heaven help our hearts. Listen on. He says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. Thank God. Why? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Friend, this is a very simple words for us to realize. Know this. If your heart is not able to break in prayer and weeping before God for them that sit around you continually at the house of God, I would wonder what I say I have in my soul. That if God never brought them by, that if my mind was never able to recall, that God, I want you to bless them people. Lord, set us together in heavenly places. Lord, fill them up and pour them out that you might be magnified. Because I can promise you this, there's a need in our land today. The need in our land today is to see God praised. To see God glorified. To see God high and lifted up. We have a need in our land of that today. One man can't do it by himself. God has left the church in this world, and my friend, he will facilitate his will to the soul of man through and by the house of God. That's his word. Listen on to the Bible. He says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Oh, look how deep it got so quickly. Look what an extreme measure it took. Friend, if your heart is not able to break in love and compassion for them that sit around you and weep you away to God, that God might bless them. Friend, you're a murderer. Preacher, I love them. I just don't like them. Don't work that way. No. It don't work like that. They're just not my type of person. They just don't understand me. No, none of that works. Why? Because I tell you what, my friend, the love of God is without respect of persons. God doesn't recognize my talents. God doesn't recognize my inabilities. God doesn't recognize any of that. Only thing he recognizes is his son. And my friend, Christ in you is a great mystery from the foundation of the world. This world still marvels at it. There's many people who have sat on the pew of the house of God today, and still this is a mystery of Christ living in them. I looked at that quite in depth this afternoon and thought we might be there in the book of Colossians. But my friend, this mystery has been revealed unto us by the Spirit that dwells in us, and that's Christ in us. But let us hurry. Listen on. He says, but whoso hath this world's good, oh, heaven help us. Have you got this world's good? Do you have this world's good? Well, preacher, I've got food. And why I'm feeding anybody that knocked on my door, have you got this world's good? It goes beyond the food that's in your cupboard. It goes beyond the jars you got on the shelf. It goes beyond, my friend, your financial means to help somebody, never expecting that in return. Listen to me. If you're a child of God, you've got something down on the inside of you that nobody else, my friend, that is of this world, can dare possess on their own. Listen to the Bible. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels in compassion. Friend, if you say that you got Jesus in your heart, and you can shut up and turn off your compassion to this one, and turn on your compassion to that one, and turn off your compassion to this one, I wonder if what you really say you got. Amen. Why, preacher? Why, we all like this statement, the ground's level at the foot of the cross. Where did we get what we say we have? I tell you, if it's Christ in you, his love is without respect of persons. You'll understand, my friend, that you're a worst enemy. That one that offends and hurts and quits you, and my friend, to the heart. You'll understand that if it weren't for the grace of God, my friend, that would be you and they would be you. And my friend, fist turned all the way around, but by God's mercies. And what happened to trusting in the Scriptures? That all things work together for the good. To them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, there's nothing going to touch us that didn't pass through his hand. So what does this happen? What does this occur? This brings you and I opportunity to prove what's in us. I'm reminded, my friend, of the passage of Scripture in Romans, many times quoted. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, that you may be able to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's not three wills of God. That's three words that describe the perfect will of God. Understand this, my friend, this good, acceptable, and perfect will of God inside our hearts and our lives. It'll cause us, my friend, to seek the opportunity to show this world the love that's in us. You'll not want to hide it. Oh, listen on. I need to hurry. He says, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth, how does it live? Is it really in there? How dwelleth the love of God in him? There's people that want you to believe that they have the love of God in them, but they can just turn it on and off. Let me tell you something, friend. He's either in there or he's not. He doesn't move in today and out tomorrow and back in the next week, my friend. He doesn't arrive on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. If he lives in there, he's in there every day. And you have this ability to love like nobody else has. Listen on. He says, my little children, let us not love in word. Listen to this. Neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. But in deed and in truth. When I see this word truth, I'm reminded of the words of Pontius Pilate when the Son of God was standing, my friend, within earshot of his very being. He said, what is truth? And the epitome of truth was standing right in front of him, unable to perceive it. Without a doubt, my friend, we are so convinced so many times of so many things, we refuse to hear the obvious. Listen to this one more time. We possess knowledge and wisdom that we have received of our fathers and traditions, and we have got them so firmly gripped in our consciousness that, my friend, many times God would lead us and guide us and cause us to grow, but we see these in our minds and we hang on to them so great, we refuse to see the obvious. What do you mean, preacher? We've not always been right. We haven't. And one of the greatest attributes that I have found in my life is when that God, in sincerity and truth, has allowed me to say, Mike, you were wrong. Boy, the flesh don't like that. Let us go farther. Especially the religious side of our flesh don't like that. But I tell you what, it's a blessing that God would even correct me in those things that I hold the highest in my life instead of me stumbling on in a myth. But let us run. He says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth. Oh, what a blessing, friend, it is to come to the place of full assurance that Christ is living in us. Much along the lines, my friend, of where we preached this morning and tried to minister to you the word of God concerning the talents that God had given him, my friend, and knowing that God has given you the earnest of the salvation of eternal glory before God. And my friend, hear me very closely. When these things, this love of God is alive in your heart and it's causing you, it's requiring of you, you find pleasure in your soul. You find it a joy to love them that don't love you and to do good to them that don't do good to you. My friend, I tell you, it is a testimony to you that it's Christ living in you. Yes. A great help in the day and hour that we live.
Oh, my goodness.
This too will come back to that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. But let us go on. He says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts. And shall assure our hearts before him. Oh, you talk about having confidence with God. You talk about having something, my friend, that's most valuable. Able to rest. The bed that people lay on is too short. The cover doesn't cover them. They cannot rest. My friend, why? Because their place of rest has not been secured into their hearts by the very words of God. But friend, I'll tell you, if God is alive in your heart, that he abides in there, you'll find it a joy to do those things that your flesh cannot do. Listen on. He says, for if our hearts condemn us, has your heart ever condemned you? For if our hearts condemn us, well, preacher, my heart don't condemn me. Wow. Wow. Well, let me tell you something flat-footed and eyeball to eyeball. My heart has condemned me. It has. Why, preacher? Why would your heart condemn you? Because there was something there that wasn't supposed to be there. Exactly. But listen on. He said, for if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Friend, I'm glad that when my heart has been condemned, because I did not exercise nor allow this great love of God that I say is in my heart to be able to facilitate the compassion and caring of Christ to those who needed it. And my friend, it condemned me. It caused me to go to God and say, I'm sorry. And then with the opportunity to express the love of God, why, we'll run to it. Why? That you may be able to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. But listen on to the Bible. He said, for if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Thank God there's nothing hid. He says, beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Surely, if you've got the love of God living in you, you must say amen to what the Bible just said. How many times have we went to the hour of prayer? How many times have we opened the book? And my friend, we went there with great expectations of God speaking to us, leading us and guiding us. But wait a minute. There's something in the way. My heart's condemned. I find a place that God would lead me to repentance. I get free of that. And my friend, I'm glad. There's an obvious leading of my life by the Spirit of God. And testified to me, even by the precious word. Have you ever been there? Where that you wanted to get to God and could not because of condemnation? And that God would allow us to repent and confess our sins and get clean before him. And then God lead us? Amen, amen. Listen on. He says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Who do we seek to please? Who is it that we really desire to know that we are approved of him? These people who live to get the witness of mankind. These people who it seems as if their very existence is to gain men's persons. But listen to me close. You walk the narrow street with God, and my friend, they're not going to meet many people like you. Especially them that are carnally minded and without the indwelling power of the Spirit of God. They're not going to like you. These people that many times regularly inhabit the house of God, and I know they don't like me. They wouldn't want me to tell them that because they think they've got me convinced. But listen to me, it's okay. I understand. I just can't wait for God to move in and change everything in your life. Yeah. Amen. Listen on. He says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus, the Son Jesus Christ, and the love and love one another as he gave us commandment. Oh, you're not going to love till you believe. And you're not going to be able to believe until you hear the words of God. And you're not going to be able to hear the words of God until we're willing to come to where we really are in our souls.
Ah, friend, Lazarus, without a doubt, would have loved to herd somebody else throughout those 4 days before he was resurrected of Christ. But I tell you what, when he heard the words of Jesus, he was able to come out. Oh, know this. Know this. There's people that hear lots of things, but sadly, they are very few that hear the call of the Spirit of God. Why, preacher? How do you know? Because of the lack of obedience to it. But listen on. He says, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him." I see, by the word of God, that there's a cohabitation taking place right here. That two people is living in the same place. Now understand something. If you come to 120 Pearl Lane, you're going to find an outward man by the name of Mike Freeman lives there. He lives there with his wife, Debbie. Understand, that is where we dwell. That is what I call home for the days that I live now. But know this. My friend, people ought to be able to see, and it won't take long. I'm my friend to them that know Jesus, who's living on the inside of you. Are you aware of what we're saying? There's evidence where I dwell that I dwell there. There's evidence at where I dwell that she dwells there. Know this, please. My dear friend, if the Son of God lives in you, there's going to be some evidence that Jesus is in there. Amen. And you're not going to be able to hide it. You're not going to be able to say, no, he don't. But I believe it'll be much to the contrary. You'll be able to be glad to say, he lives in my heart. Listen on to the Bible. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know. Listen to this. That he abideth in us. And don't stop there. Listen on to the Bible. By the Spirit, capital S, which he hath given us. Welcome to the earnest of the Spirit. Welcome to where we preach this morning. My friend, Jesus lives in them that are his. Well, I thought you said the Spirit of God lives in there. Bless his holy name. You cannot separate them. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God has in the hearts of those that love him. In the hearts of those that's been bold. In the hearts of those of us that are born again. Fitly framed together. A habitation of God through the Spirit. How do you think the scripture means that a threefold cord's not easily severed? My friend, that's when one heart has been washed in the blood, made a new creature in Christ, another life the same way. And when that power and that Spirit of God comes, it brings an end to all debate. But let me tell you something. You can talk it. You can do all those things you want to do outwardly. But until heaven says amen to your life, I'm going to pray for your soul. Preacher, that's just hard. You all take my word for it. Why? You don't take the gospel out of my words. You better take the gospel by the anointing of the power of God. They have been hundreds, if not thousands, of men that have walked behind the sacred yesterday, and they said they were preaching the gospel, and God was nowhere about it. It's been going on for years. In this country, they've made merchandise of men's souls. Their whole families headed to hell in a handbasket. No, they're doing the work of God. Really? Well, where's the witness of his Spirit? Because let me tell you something, friend, if he's living in there, he's going to come out. If he's a living in there, my friend, he is what causes the life to be illuminated. He is the one that brings light to darkness. He is the one that makes manifest the power of God. It's not in man's flesh. You cannot mimic it. You cannot add to it. You can't take away from it. My friend, you just have to submit yourselves to it. We touched on it just a little bit this morning, but it is amazing. It's beyond me. I've run into people on the job, and oh, when they need something, they are just so religious. They are just so much God's child. Give them 5 minutes, and the very expressions on their face going to tell you who's living and who's not living on the inside. See, there's lots of people like to mimic Jesus. They like to have Jesus on board. They want Him as their Savior when it comes time to die, and they're trying to figure it out the whole journey through. I tell you what, my friend, you can know. You can know because you're able to love them that don't love you. You're able to weep before God for their soul when you know in your heart they're just waiting for you to stumble so they can put their heel on your neck. It's okay. Jesus loved them anyway. What are you talking about, preacher? Because I used to be one of the same ones. Oh, my goodness, at them hypocrites that went down there to the house of God. Who are they to judge me? Foolish statements of a young man. But God, who's rich in mercy, calls me to love them people down there with a love that's beyond words. It'll gee and haw, woe and go your life. It'll stir up compassion in you, and you'll find yourself asking God, God, forgive them, and God, help them, God, increase them. Lord, illuminate them, let them see where they really are with you. Why? Because you love them. And you want to see God made manifest in their lives. Well, why, preacher? It breaks your heart when you see somebody and they think that they really got a possession of something. And they've been sold a bag of goods. They've been lied to from somebody. Somebody deceived them. What are you saying, preacher? It's a sad thing when you see deception taking place. I talked to a young man the other day. He is fixing to join the service. And I told him about military recruiters. They'll do their best to sell a refrigerator to an Eskimo, something they don't even begin to need. And I'm not trying to be funny, but they'll do these things so that they can just put another number in the column on the day of the week of the month of the year. That's what they do. Friend, let me tell you something. You don't come to God to make a deal. You don't come to God to clear up the things of your flesh. You don't come to God to take care of the things that you can see with your eye and hear with your ears and touch with your hands. You come to God because of what's been going on in your heart. And when the heart gets in order, guess what's going to happen to the life? It's going to follow. And then, when you see that need of expressing the original love of God, guess what's going to be made manifest to you? The means and the measures to get it accomplished. Well, I just can't do it. You better be able to, because if you can't, if you just say you can't, if you just say that you won't, then I wonder how dwelleth the love of God in you. The Bible says that we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And we want that to be there to slay our giants. And that we can walk through the fiery trials. How about loving our enemies? How about loving them that don't love us? How about vehemently praying for them that we know ain't praying for us? How about laboring in love that God might be magnified and made manifest at the house of God? Why, preacher? Because if we lift Him up, He'll start drawing all men to Him. I don't know about you, but that puts some wind in my sail. It makes me want to bear down and bear up. get it up off the ground and magnify it to this world. Look at my Jesus. Look how he's loved me. He moved in and took up his abode. What a mystery. Christ in you.
Short, may have seemed scattered. I don't know, but that's our heart. And I thank